Amen. As your blessings now fill this place. It's a difficult task to introduce someone who needs no introduction. When someone comes home, it's a little strange to have to stand and try and introduce them. So I just praise God for the opportunity to stand this morning and that our guest minister for the day, Reverend Dr. Chester Polk, has returned home. You know, Pastor, in his thought and thinking about how to keep us focused, selected the Associate Director of Field Education at the Princeton Theological Seminary, who's responsible for domestic and international missions and ministries. And if you think about that, the pastor's note, his selection of the minister of the hour, allows us to kind of deepen and share the experience that the pastor and the congregation is having. Another affirmation we have is that we have a note from Morgan Spivey thanking the church for our support of her mission trip to the Republic of the Dominican Republic. Amen. All things come together. So I'm seeing an affirmation here. You know, we have a deep, long-standing relationship with Princeton Theological Seminary. Many students there have come here and served us as they continue to develop. Dr. Polk is part of that tradition, and we're so blessed to have him come this morning to bring us the word from the Lord. I now present the speaker of the hour, our friend, our brother, Dr. Chester Polk.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I thank the Lord for yet another opportunity to come here, to come home. We visit from time to time and try to keep a low profile. But always grateful to God for the history that we have. Deacon Poole with Shiloh Baptist Church. We shall never forget, my wife and I, and Mildred joins me this morning. The time that we sojourned in New Jersey back in 1992 through 1995, and leaving in 95 and going out to California and being involved in church planting, new church development. And as I think about that, I think about Dr. Woodson and his graciousness allowing us as our students in ministry attending Princeton Theological Seminary to come your way and to be here with you for a season. I thank him for sharing the pulpit with us and giving us opportunity to preach and to sit at his feet and to learn from him. I'm grateful for that. I am equally grateful to Pastor Armstrong for having asked that I come here today and to share with you in this gospel ministry. As he is away, he asked if I would just say a brief word about my ministry there at the seminary. And I will be brief in that to say that I serve to situate students, to work with them, walk along with them as they too do what we did while we were here, practicing, preaching, and teaching, and serving in any capacity that we could. In that ministry, it's a joy to listen to them as they enter into the seminary and talk about their goals and aspirations, their compassion and their passion for ministry and serving God. It keeps it fresh on my mind and on my heart why I am where I am and what I'm trying to do. I'm not always satisfied with my performance, but thankful to God that things are as well as they are.
Amen.
And as in the domestic, both the international programs, domestic ministries, they're placed throughout New Jersey and throughout the country here in the United States. And internationally, they are serving and will be serving this summer. There's one currently in Northern Ireland, and there will be one in Japan this summer. There'll be others going to Liberia, to Ghana in West Africa, to Rwanda in Central Africa. They have served in South Africa. Others will journey to Puerto Rico. And there are those who have served in Jamaica and in South America, Brazil. So they serve worldwide. And it has been a pleasure and a joy and a blessing to be able to negotiate with sites and people and individuals and churches and organizations worldwide to have them to entertain our students there to serve in ministry.
Amen.
As well as in India, both in Northeast India and in South India. So I ask you to please pray for the Princeton Theological Seminary students and others of other institutions who will be serving this summer in various capacities as they seek to understand what God's claim is upon their lives. So I thank you for this moment.
Amen.
To the gospel message. There is in Psalms 116, 1 through 11, a word from the Lord. Psalms 116, verses 1 through 11. Psalms 116, verses 1 through 11. Therein is found these words. The psalmist wrote, I love the Lord. I think I'll stop and ask, do I have a witness?
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, that's enough. I believe we can have the invitational song.
All right.
Sit down. I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live.
Amen, amen.
Help me, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The pains of death surrounded me, and the pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul.
Yes, yes.
Help me, Lord Jesus. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful.
Thank you.
The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted, said in my haste, all men are liars. Will you pray with me? Gracious and all-wise God, who has blessed us to see yet another day. We thank you.
Thank you.
We pray for the safety of the pastor.
Yes.
And those who may be journeying with him into distant lands and to distant shores.
Yes.
Allow them to minister wherever they go.
Yes, Lord.
That people may see Jesus Christ in them,
yes,
in
yes.
their living. And be known by thee as men and women and children in need of a blessing. Now we pray that you bless this service this morning continually, for it has already been blessed by your presence in this place. Now fill us, O Lord, with thy Spirit continually as we think on these things. Let the words of our mouth, meditation of our heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. The impetus for today's sermon title. Motivating factor, the driving force, the underlying substance for today's sermon title emerged from a book I read years ago entitled Cry the Beloved Country by Alan Payton. And the title that I want to use here this morning is Cry the Beloved People. I hope that you are remembering that text. Alan Payton, the context into which he would have us to live into is that of a land and of a people struggling with unbearable poverty and racial and social injustice. Even to this very day, one would, as it were, step back in time, which is what the pastor and others are doing this very day. They would step back in time many years upon paying a visit to any of the countries of Africa, even South Africa, as progressive as it is, even Cape Town, as progressive as it may be. Get outside of the city, and you will find deplorable conditions. Lord help. A land where women still carry wood for the family fire upon their heads, as well as their wares, as they make their way to the open market to ply their goods. 2011, Mildred and I walked the streets of Rwanda. And there we saw women carrying their wares on their heads still. Children working sun up to sun down, and no tractors to ride on, but just an implement that they used to dig in the ground to plant their crops. Children still carry water pumped by hand, by roadside wells, up and down the dusty roads for miles. I asked the driver, what I have been seeing these children carry, these yellow containers, plastic containers, what are they carrying? He said, they're carrying water. And I noticed then, after the fact, that alongside the road you would find a well, and they would be pumping by hand and filling these yellow plastic containers with water. And they would carry them for miles, just so that the home would have drinking water. And they would make their way, beloved, before the sun fell, behind towering trees and mountains and rolling hills, before the sun set. It is into this context that Alan Payton would have us to live into for a while. So he writes in part, and I wanted to share this part with you. Cry, the beloved country, for the unborn child that is the inheritor of our fear. Let him not love the earth too deeply. Let him not laugh too gladly when the waters run through his fingers, nor stand too silent when the setting sun makes red the veil with fire. Let him not be moved too much when the birds of his land are singing, nor give too much of his heart to a mountain or a valley, for fear will rob him of all if he gives too much. There exists a paradox as we consider today's sermon title and that of the book. For this short segment of the book discloses the fear of a people so deep-seated, so ingrained in their minds and hearts until it become a way of life. Fear even for their unborn children, expressing pain of so many years of suffering.
having lived under such circumstances for so long without hope, what message would you have for your unborn child? Except life is not worth living. And if you're born into this world, a word of caution is in order. Do not love this land of yours too much. The land of South Africa, and I hesitate to say, but I must say, the land of America. For hours or days filled with human tragedy that runs deep in their land, apartheid. In our land, racial and social injustice.
Yes, yes.
In their land, racial and social injustice. In our land, use your imagination. It runs deep. A perverse and evil, tragically misguided political system, apartheid. But then I could not help but hear the voice of a Trayvon Martin. A Emmett Till. Need I go on? Unjustified murder. Let me move on. Listen to the psalmist of our text testify to his own distress. Hear the psalmist's anxiety as he says, death was all around me. If you've ever spent any time in the hospital, if you've ever been a nurse, a doctor, a mortician, etc., after a while, being around death so much has a depressing thing about it.
My God.
I experienced sudden, sharp, and brief pain, said the psalmist. So what did he do? What do you do? What do we do? The psalmist said, I called on the Lord. I called on the Lord. Oh, Lord, he said, I beg of you, save my life.
Yeah.
Have you called on him lately?
Come on.
Have you had a situation, have you had circumstances in life lately that have encouraged you, moved you, prodded you, made you? Look to the hills from whence cometh your help and say, Lord, have mercy. Save me.
Yes.
I don't know about you. Sometimes over in the night, I have to wake up and say, Lord, have mercy.
Have mercy.
I believe today that there are those among thousands in America who are out of work. Do I have a witness? There are those in this country in the 21st century that are hungry, homeless, men, women, and children. Some living in shanty towns constructed out of cardboard boxes and tents, as one would find in a third world country. And they're crying out unto the Lord, as did the psalmist, saying, I know you are a God of grace.
Yes, yes.
I know that you are a God of righteousness. And I know that you are a God of mercy.
Yes, yes.
Have mercy. Save us. As I looked at the news not too awful long ago, and I thought suddenly I was back in Guguletu in South Africa, leaving the airport on my way to the pristine shores of Cape Town, and all that I could see for miles were shanty towns. People living in some of the most deplorable conditions. But then 15, 20 minutes later, we arrived in the Dutch playground. Pristine shores, beautiful waters, towering buildings, etc., and on and on. You would think that those circumstances between the airport and there did not exist. You would think that when the police say no, that would not happen. Use your imagination. Hear our cry and save us. Hear our cry and save us. People in America and in Africa living in fear, no hope for tomorrow, not even for their unborn children's future. Now let me be a little more personal. Upon counseling a young couple, they said to me, our arguments and our fights almost always come down to money. Talk to me, my Shiloh. Come on now.
Yeah.
I got on one of my best suits. Help me, Jesus. But in talking to those young people there, and it's not just young people, in this day and time, they said, our arguments, our fights, usually boil down to money. Just when it seems as if things are going to work out, we find ourselves in financial problems. Just when it seems as if we are about to turn a corner, life robs us of our hope.
Yeah.
To me, they were saying, we are afraid to love each other too much. Because we don't know what's going to happen in another hour. We may be in another argument about how we're going to pay the bills. Paradoxically speaking, the psalmist, on the other hand, suggests that God does not love us too much. God, who is love and whose love moved the psalmist to utter the words, I love the Lord. Because he had heard my voice and my supplications. Has he heard you and do you know it? Has he heard you and do you know it? If you know that the Lord at some time in your life has heard you, you ought to say amen. You ought to wave your hand. You ought to stand on your feet. You ought to tell somebody else that God saved me. Help me, Lord Jesus. Maybe you didn't have cancer. Maybe you were not suffering from some grave, debilitating disease. Maybe you just needed the Lord to hear you when you express your concern for your son or your daughter or your husband or your wife. Talk to God about it. Let God hear it. And I dare you to trust him.
Amen.
I have a little old word to say, but I'll get there. He inclined his ear to me. God does not love us too much. God, who is love, and God who moved the psalmist to say, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications. He inclined his ear to me. In other words, God paid heed to me. That doesn't sound like much when you just say it, and you hear people say it all the time. God listened willingly to me, but now think about it. This is the same God that's running the universe. This is the same God that's running the galaxy, and not just the Milky Way.
Yeah.
All the other galaxies.
Yeah, right.
And yet, God took out a moment to hear you. And to hear me.
Yes, yes.
God could have said, I don't have time for your petty problems. I have a planet out here that needs water, and you worrying me about how you gonna pay your bills. But rather, God took time out to hear my little concern.
Yes, yes.
And so I understand when the psalmist say, I thank the Lord.
Yes,
I praise the Lord. I'm grateful to God. I worship the Lord. The Lord is my keeper and my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I understand why the psalmist would utter such words. Do you understand? Do you understand? But then, beloved, then Peyton had us to know that that the black South Africans who had lived a life of fear so long, that they had expressed their concern even for the unborn, saying essentially, don't get too close to the place you call home. Do not come to love this land of your mothers and fathers too much. A word of caution. Don't take it from us. Fear will rob you of your dreams. Fear will rob you of your dreams. Fear will shackle your climbing aspirations, and you'll decide, oh, well, it's not going to work out anyway. I'm just going to sit down. It's easy to sit down. Give up, roll over, give in, forget about it. But we just said, I love the Lord. He heard my cry 2 years ago. And then the same God said, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was rent 2 years ago, and it's transportation to get to work today, same God. Situation is not that much different. Love Him. Yeah. Praise Him. Yeah. Worship Him. Yeah. Glorify Him. Yeah. Give God glory. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe all you need is antihistamine. Yeah. Who knows? God got that too. But watch the psalmist of our text who demonstrated just how much God cares for us. God whose love knows no bounds. Love unrestrained. If you can't hear the psalmist, then consider the words of an old missionary by the name of Paul. While passing through Corinth at the end of his third missionary journey, he took up his pen in 56 AD and declared that the love of the Lord our God, he wrote, would not allow him to spare his own son. Think about it. But gave him up for us all, and will he not also give us all things with him? We're still standing in the shadow of Easter. We're still thinking about the death, burial, and praise God, resurrection. So I think it's left up to us to just wait on the Lord.
Yes.
If God will not spare his own son, then will God not hear our prayer for the needs that we know, whether they are physical, spiritual, mental, and otherwise? Today's, help me, Jesus. Today's sermon text reveals one who is the benefactor of God's countless acts of grace. As God blessed his life and delivered him at a time when he was in dire straits. Given the opportunity, we too could recount moments in time when God delivered us from some malady, perhaps some extreme misfortune in life that brought us great loss and maybe deep sorrow, such as at the death of a loved one. What did you do when your loved one passed? What did you do? One thing we did is we cried. We sat in great sorrow. And we hoped, some way, somehow, that this wasn't true. Give me a minute. And then it came to us. This is my child. And we said, in our great sorrow, given space, Father, she, he could have lived 30 more years. Why not? Why not take my life? And let him live? Why
why not take my life and let her have a chance to come to know her son and her daughter, her children. Let her watch them cross the stage in graduation. Let them be flowers in her life.
This God chose out of love to chase away our fear of the unknown by charging the prophet Isaiah. I say, Isaiah, there are some people in Shiloh on the 15th of April who need to hear this. So I want you to write it down so they'll get it. I have a voice going by there. He's nobody, just a voice. But let him say this in their hearing. And he wrote these precious words, Shiloh. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace.
Yes, yes.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end.
Yes.
So don't worry about it. Jesus got your back. Millions upon millions have thanked and praised God for such deliverance. When was the last time you lifted up your voice and praised the Lord and praised the Lord? When was the last time you lifted up your voice and praised the Lord and adoration for the joy that we have come to know in Christ? When was the last time you got up out of your bed and before your feet hit the floor, you said to yourself, thank you, Jesus. I've come to see another day. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't have to see this day. Thank you, Jesus. I can breathe. My health is pretty fair. Thank you, Jesus. No one needs to lead me around by my hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm still in my right mind. I can still get along. I might have to shuffle sometimes, but I'll get there. Help me, Lord. Help me. Do not let fear rob you of life. Do not let fear rob you of glorifying the one who is the giver of life. Don't let it rob you. Wasn't that long ago that we were in the fields of South Texas, Mississippi, and Georgia with a hoe in our hand? It wasn't that long ago when we walked behind mules and plowed the field. It wasn't that long ago that we were carrying water from the backyard to the front yard. It wasn't that long ago when we were going to the bathroom in a wooden building behind the house. Down in the bushes. It wasn't that long ago. Do not let fear rob you. I serve a God who can. I serve a God who will. Help me, Holy Spirit. Come what may, the Lord will stand by you and by you and by me and by you. Come what may, God stand by you. Know that right. All others may pass you by, as did the Levite. Help me, Lord Jesus. All others may pass you by in your time of need, like the priest and the Levite in the parable of the Good Samaritan, in times of anguish, in times of loneliness and despair, times when we are experiencing a sense of desertion washing over us and bringing us to the point of frustration, until one might just get the idea, if no one will stand by me, I'll stand by myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, bring the word.
I'll stand by myself. But then I read Carl Barth, who said something like this. This is a great
even the very greatest of errors. A drowning person cannot pull himself or herself out of the water by their own hair. Right. Neither can you or I. Someone else must rescue us. And so it is, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Jesus the Christ, who stands by us and by whose stripes we are healed. And this is the good news of the gospel. Through the eyes of Alan Payton, we look on the beauty and the terror of human existence. Through the eyes of the worshiper who had come to the temple to pray in our text and to offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, we catch a glimpse of the mysteries of God. And in his declaration of love, he says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fear. I love you, Lord, because you heard my cry. When death was all around me and the pains of Sheol laid hold on me, I called your name. Oh, Lord, I beg of you, save me. And you delivered my soul from death, and you wiped away my tears. I will call on you as long as I live. Shiloh, how long are you going to call on him? Just one day? Just one week? Just one month? Just one year? How long will you call on him? How long will you trust him? How long will you lean on him? How long? How long? How long, Lord Jesus? Not long. I hear the words of Martin Luther King. How long? Not long.
Yeah.
And you delivered my soul, he said, from death. You wiped away my tears. I'm going to keep calling on you. I'm going to keep calling on you. I'm going to keep calling on you. This is the expression of thankful love. I thank you, so I'm going to call on you. For it calls on the name of the Lord. And in the Lord we find rest. Been up too long. I'm going to turn the corner and sit down now. But I got to testify before going. I hear the psalmist saying, now let me walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Let me walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Brother Poole, I'm going to mess up sometime. I'm going to make a mistake every now and then. But I'm going to say I'm sorry. I'm going to say forgive me. I'm going to say have mercy on me. I'm going to say I'm going to trust you. I'm going to say help me. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to walk before you then, Lord, in the land of the living. I'm going to try my best to keep the faith in spite of my affliction. We can never get too close to the Lord. Cry, the beloved people, for he who was born in a stable is he who stands by us. In utter unselfishness and ultimate authority, with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, who else would you want to have standing by you? Cry, the beloved people, for if forsaken by all others, such as a do-nothing Congress, mired in partisan politics, God will stand by us. He came to rescue a 65-year-old woman who was pistol whipped in her own home for $20, but the Lord was with her. He cried, the beloved people, for we are gripped by anxiety when we are scared for our life, scared for our jobs, scared for our children. When we are gripped by anxiety and in fear at the loss of our jobs, God will stand by us. Even if God has to stand by us in a soup line, God will stand by us. Even if God has to stand, I better say that again because I may be there tomorrow. You might be there tomorrow. This thing about work 30 years at a place and ride off in the sunset with your retirement does not exist anymore. And the very places where you have been contributing money to try to help those poor people standing in line for food, I may be there in the morning. You may be there next week. But one thing I do know is that if I trust in God,
at least I'll get a meal, I'll get a piece of bread, I'll get a little watered down soup, but I will be with the Lord. Pride of the Lord. For when we are gripped by anxiety, when we are gripped, cry, only cry for joy. And you talk about, you used to talk to me about a soup line, and then you want me to cry for joy? Yes, cry for joy. Why? Because your soul has a resting place. Your soul has a resting place. Maybe you won't have a king size bed any longer, but your soul has a resting place. Eternity is forever. I'm just passing by here. You're just passing by here. I'm getting ready to quit. But beloved, on the other side of living in an unjust world, there is a righteous God. Did I say anything? On the other side of living in an unjust world, there is a righteous God who looks at the heart and not at what I do and don't do. Knows well that my intentions are good and meaningful. So I thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
That you look at my heart. On the other side of loneliness, there is a God who will be our company keeper, both now and forever. On the other side of frustration, there is peace. On the other side of a life of errors, there is a God of grace. On the other side of a life filled with affliction, there is a God of mercy. On the other side of sorrow, there is joy. On the other side of death, there waits for me a Savior, and His name is Jesus the Christ. And when I put my feet upon my couch for the last time, when I close my eyes in sleep for the last time, when I stop walking around in this world, I'm going to cross over, and He will be waiting for me. Will be waiting for you. Arms outstretched. Welcome home. No more fear. No more hunger. No more sleepless nights. No more grief. No more pain. No more frustration. Joy. What is tomorrow going to be like? Joyful. What is next week going to be like? Joyful. Will I know pain anymore? No more pain. Will I know frustration anymore? No more frustration. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to be misunderstood. You're going to be misunderstood. But trust Him. Trust Him. Brothers and sisters and brother, the call to discipleship is at hand. And if you're here and you want to trust Him, just come, just as you are. Rich, poor, blind, mistaken, misunderstood, it does not matter. That's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a God who is forgiving, a God who's loving, a God who's patient, a God who's kind. Come, give us your hands and give God your life. Come, just as you are, and Jesus the Christ will receive you as this choir sings. Come.